Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. Hi, I'm your host, Janice Tunnell. For today, Sunday, January 26th, we have an exciting show planned for you tonight. We're speaking with Lily Rivera of Bridal Girl Multicultural Beauty. But before we speak with Lily, I just have to remind you of a few things. Our call-in number for tonight's show is 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399. You can also join us in the chat room by using the hashtag #PoundBeautyLounge, and that chat is going to be on Twitter, of course. Again, it's #PoundBeautyLounge. And we also have beauty news again tonight, so I'm going to hand the mic over to my sister Denise.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. How is everyone doing this evening? And hello to our guest. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Take a color you hate and work with it for a week. Try something new every day, even if it is in a very small way. Study art and fashion with a passion. This quote is by Linda Mason and can be found on the January calendar of the 2014 Makeup Weekly Planner by Marietta Carter Narcisse. Just wanted to read that. Also, coming up July 12th through 15th is the PBA Beauty Week at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. Be a part of the largest, most inclusive beauty event in North America, PBA Beauty Week. Hosted by CosmoProf North America, this event incorporates every sector of the beauty industry for the ultimate experience in networking, education, and professional growth opportunities. This week of beauty features the North American Hairstyling Awards, NAHA, which I mentioned last week, PBA's West Coast Regional Salon Summit, and PBA's Beacon Student Program in City of Hope. PBA Beauty Week is produced by the Professional Beauty Association and is hosted by CosmoProf North America. Again, for more information on Beauty Week, you can go to probeauty.org /Beauty Week. And just wanted to kind of stress the importance of having a PBA membership. And just to read to you a little bit of what PBA is all about. PBA is a leading producer of industry trade events and competitions. Their renowned events are catalysts for forging industry relations and advancing beauty careers. Along with their signature events, PBA provides their members with education, government advocacy, and charitable outreach, research, and business resources. So on some of our past shows, when you've heard us talk about the deregulation of the cosmetology license, PBA is like the leader in informing us on things like that. When we really don't know what's going on in our state, PBA will always provide that information on what's going on with the cosmetology license as well as some other things. And so, speaking of the deregulation of the cosmetology license, that's something that we all should be taking a look at in our individual states, whether you're an esthetician, which that license pretty much falls under cosmetology license, whether you are, I know some states had a makeup license, so if that license falls under cosmetology license, we need to definitely take a look at all of that in our own individual states, because there are more states that are coming up, you know, and they're discussing and talking about the deregulation of the cosmetology license. So if you're a hairstylist, makeup artist, esthetician, you need to know what's going on, you need to be informed, and you need to speak up. And I think it's we're all responsible for it. So we all need to take the time to, you know, speak up, you know, write our state senators, things like that, and trying to stop this whole thing, because it's going to happen if we don't do anything about it. So with that being said, I'm just encouraging everyone to become a member of PBA if you aren't a member of PBA, and you can do so by going to probeauty.org. Janice, have you updated your membership yet?
As a matter of fact, I haven't. I'm guilty of that. I've been a member for about a good 15 years now, and this is the first time that I haven't been on top of that, but I am in the process of doing that as we speak, actually.
All right. Well, good. Okay, good. And you also can get free entrance into, you know, some of the trade shows, IBS, you know, things like that. So, you know, there are some perks to being a member, you know, magazine subscriptions, things like that. But more importantly, they definitely keep us informed, and I think they're definitely a leader in our beauty industry. And just to read off a few things that's happening in this makeup planner, which I'm very excited about finally receiving, and I'm sure Mariette is happy to be able to get it out finally, but just wanted to read. Of course, we all know for today some of the things that's happening today, like the 56th Annual Grammy Awards. Of course, Beauty Talk is happening today, and that's mentioned in her planner, but also the International Salon and Spa Expo, which I believe ends tomorrow, the 27th. But also taking place tomorrow, starting tomorrow, is workshops by Marietta, her online classes, her script breakdown and set etiquette class. I will be joining Marietta tomorrow to take that class. So if anyone's interested in script breakdown, please give Marietta a call or go to her website, which once again is Marietta Carter Narcisse, NARCISSE.com. And you can also go there to place your order for the Makeup Weekly Planner. And speaking of the planner, we will be giving away one planner to one lucky winner tonight by the end of the show. We need you to go to our Facebook page, Beauty Talk Online Radio's Facebook page, and state how you would use your planner if you won. Or you can join us on the Tweet Chat, tweetchat.com, using hashtag Beauty Lounge, and state how you would use your weekly planner if you won it. Or you can call us tonight, 914-803-4399, and let us know what you think about it and how you plan to use it. So we're just going to randomly pick a winner from one of those three sources. Either you call in, you tweet chat, or Facebook. And we'll pick a winner for the Makeup Weekly Planner. And again, that number is 914-803-4399. Tweet chat using pound Beauty Lounge, or you can go to the Facebook Beauty Talk Online Radio page.
All right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
I'm sorry?
No, I just said it sounds good.
Oh. And just lastly, I wanted to mention a workshop series coming up very quickly, actually. Donna Mee has a workshop series entitled Becoming a Better Makeup Artist Workshop Series. And she's got a series of classes coming up, and I'll just read a few of them for you. But pretty much she's got a Mastering Skincare for Makeup Artists. It's a two-day workshop, January 29th through 30th. From 5 to 10 p.m., and all of these classes are taking place in California. There's a Mastering Corrective Lips and Pro Lip Palette Creation. The Mastering Corrective Lips is February 5th from 5 to 10 p.m. Okay, the Pro Lip Palette Creation is February 20th from 5 to 10 p.m. Okay, and although that may sound like, oh, that's something that we already do, you know, of course, you know, Donna, there's a science to everything, so she's got her own way of creating her lip palettes. And then Mastering the Art of Eyebrows, February 24th from 5 to 10 p.m. Then there is a one-day workshop, Advanced Bridal Makeup, April 7th from 5 to 10 p.m. Create a Booming Bridal Business. It's a two-day workshop, April 8th from 5 to 10 p.m. I'm sorry, I lost my space here. Then there is a beauty boot camp in Bali, and that's a little longer course. But for more information on all those classes, you can contact Mercedes Mormon at educationdirector@empireacademy.com. And again, that's educationdirector@empireacademy.com. And the young lady's name there is Mercedes Mormon, or you can give her a call at 714-438-2437. If you call her, you can call from Monday through Thursdays from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., or you can go to the empireacademy.com website.
All right.
That's it for the season.
Cool. Thank you very much. Again, as we stated before, the call-in number for tonight's show is 914-803-4399. Our guest tonight is Lily Rivera. Welcome to the show, Lily.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're honored to have you here tonight. Let's start from the very beginning. Just introduce yourself to our listening audience and just tell us a little bit about who you are, when you started your career as a makeup artist, and what inspired you to do so.
Well, again, my name is Lily Rivera. I'm the founder and owner of Bridal Gal Multicultural Beauty, and I have a studio here in New York City in the heart of Manhattan on the west side, and we cater to brides and women who want to get their makeup, facials, and hair done for special events. I started, oh my goodness, that's a loaded question. I started a very long time ago, back in my late teens and into my late teens. Interesting you ask that, because I started working as a secretary personal assistant to the marketing director of a big company that was marketing and distributing makeup lines and skincare, and I was not much of a good secretary or a personal assistant. So they were having like a lot of cosmetics in there, and they were marketing them. And what I would do is like I'd get distracted with all the makeup. It was one of my first jobs, and they had beautiful makeup and great skincare, and I was like very distracted, and I was like, and she's like, I think you belong over here. So instead of letting me go, which I'm so grateful for, they thought that I would be better suited for a different department. And I had two wonderful, amazing mentors, one woman, Naomi, oh my goodness, I remember her fondly. She took me under her wing, and she taught me everything about skincare, and she was the best esthetician I had ever met. Of course, she was my first one, so she taught me a lot of great things, and this was at a time when, like, salons and beauty treatments were not as popular, but at that time, there was, like, a kind of like a, I can't say competition for a lack of a better word, between dermatologists and skincare professionals. There was a little battle there who's going to get the client, you know. And then also I had a gorgeous, wonderful female mentor in the makeup department who taught me a lot about makeup. And since I started doing makeup then, and you're going to ask me, well, what inspired you or what made you think that you were good at makeup? Well, I was, as a child, I was always doing watercolors and art and painting and anything that had to do with color and texture. And I guess that was my, thinking back, that was how I got into makeup. And thing to another, the transition was pretty easy, and before we know it, in about a year, I was a full lone makeup artist and skincare analyst, and that's how I got my career started. That was a long time ago, and here I am now with my own business. But that's pretty much how I got started.
Wow. Now, tell me, during those years, I guess, what led you to starting your own business?
Well, you know, we start working with cosmetic companies, and you start doing the boutique and the cosmetic counters and the manager, being managers of counters. And through the years, I landed up a few jobs in, like, am I allowed to say brands? No, not really, right? some major cosmetic companies. Then there were opportunities for freelancing. So I loved doing freelancing and being on my own. I always had an eye for, like, natural beauty, not overpowering a face with tons of makeup. And I just wanted to make the woman look more beautiful and enhance the natural features. And the companies I was working with were, like, all about blues and grays and purples and tons of makeup. In the counters, I found a lot of women were just wanting to look prettier. And that's how I got into doing a lot of ethnic, different ethnicities and color. And I got a lot of training by being in those department stores. Like in New York City, it's like the mega of, you know, various people with various cultural background and different ethnicities. And then people would come to me and say, can you do my wedding? Can you do my wedding? And I'm like, I would love to, but I have to work, you know. So I was tied up at the counters doing retail. You know how, I don't know if you know how that works. I mean, you don't have freedom there. You're assigned a schedule. But I would do it little by little. And I had the fortune and luck that I lived right across the street from the place where I was retailing. So I was very close to the clients. And little by little, I started getting more clients, and I would ask for my day off. And little by little, I'm like, I think I want to do this on my own. And I wanted my freedom. And it just started growing little by little, and I couldn't just, I'm giving this up, and I'm giving, having my own business a shot, you know. It was just like a transition little by little. I started working 7 days a week at the counters, and then I dropped down from the manager to assistant to the assistant manager to 3 days a week to call me when you need me. And before I knew it, you know, I mean, it took years. It wasn't overnight. But before I knew it, in my head, because I thought it was going to take a lot longer, I was able to support myself with my private clients. And I used to see them in my apartment across the street. So I used to, like, take breaks or go home for a few hours when I had, like, a lunch break. I would see a client at home because I was right across the street, and see her in about 20 minutes and then go back to work, and I made it happen. And before I knew, I'm like, oh, my God, I think I could just do this. I think I like doing this. I like doing this on my own and the freedom that it had. So I started. Then let's see what happened after that. Then I started looking into getting a space.
Right.
My very first studio was in New Jersey, affordable rent.
Okay, so my question now is, and you mentioned that you, so you own Bridal Gal.
Yes.
Bridal Gal Multicultural Beauty.
Yes.
Define for us multicultural, because you hear that term used for a lot of different people, but define what that means to you.
To me, as far as the beauty of it, I was I'm Puerto Rican, Latina, and I started my career in Puerto Rico. And in Puerto Rico, you have light skin, dark skin, medium skin, and then I come to work in New York City, and then you have a lot of that too, plus other ethnicities. And it's a fusion of cultures. It's a fusion of ethnicity. And when you get down to it as far as makeup and skincare, because we're in a society where everything is oh my goodness, what's the word I'm looking for? You have such a diversity of culture and ethnicity, it presents a challenge to a makeup artist, and you need to know what to do in order to get that skin looking amazing. So it's not just, everybody's different. So multicultural beauty to me is catering to everyone. Asian, South Asian, African-American, African, and Hispanic, and not just only as far as their own beauty, but the way they present themselves. And every culture has their own perception of beauty, as we all know, just because, you know, the Latin culture likes the makeup done a certain way, and then the non-Latin person, the more lighter skin, likes it more subtle, and I have to make sure that I combine all my techniques into getting to the client not only what they want, but trying to understand their perception of beauty plus their own personal style.
Right.
So it's not a cookie cutter anything. There's no cookie cutter, nothing, like I say.
Absolutely.
So there is nothing. I mean, let's just take, like, darker skin tones can come in red undertones and olive undertones, and then she could be a little mixture of lighter skin, or she can be a mixture of, like, Asian. So it kind of, it changes everything. So that's what multicultural means to me as far as the beauty and makeup and skin. That's what it means to me. Now, if we're going to go into what is really multicultural, that's it's culture, diversity, a mix of different cultures put together. But as far as beauty, is what to that person what means beauty to that person? And it may not be my perception of the beauty that I see in her. It's the beauty that she sees in her, and I have to work with that.
Absolutely. So let me ask you this. When there's a person in your chair, and this is for not just you, but just, you know, all makeup artists, when you're getting ready to work with a client that's a multicultural client, what are some things that we need to consider when working with someone who represents, you know, sometimes there are people who represent quite a few ethnicities. What do we need to think about or consider when approaching this makeup?
Well, you have to ask this person a few questions, basic questions, about how they usually wear their makeup. It's also very important to try and find out, you know, what they do for a living, just because, not that you're interested in basically what they do for a living, but really, like, what their lifestyle is like. I mean, is she very busy? Is she someone who never takes time because she's busy with her business? Is she a business owner? Does she work somewhere in a corporate environment? Is she a lawyer? Is she a doctor? Because all of these things, the answers to these questions tell you what kind of lifestyle she has. Is she too busy to take care of herself? Does she take care of herself? Is she in the fashion industry? So you need to approach them differently, because someone who works really, really hard, like, let's just say I get doctors, for example, and then or nurses or people that work in the healthcare industry, and they're always giving, and they hardly ever take care of themselves, and a little makeup is way too much. So you need to know what their personality and personal style and style of their active lifestyle. So so that you can approach them in that direction, because you're not going to approach someone who rarely has time to take care of herself because she's always busy and she won't have time to take, like, to do lipstick or eyeshadow. And you need to know if you're going to be able to communicate to her that a little bit of this is good and you look really, really pretty if you just take a few minutes to this, because this person is not going to take half an hour to do her makeup. And then you're thinking about the fashionista girl. Hello, baby doll. You can do anything to this girl because she loves makeup. She loves makeup. Yeah, and then let's just say a lawyer, someone, a female lawyer, who does she go to trial? I mean, does she do litigation? Is she in a corporate office? Is she on her own, you know, like independent? And you have to approach them differently as well, because they're not going to take too fond of, like, the hottest trends in makeup. So also learning, asking questions about them and what they like and what they have in mind, that also helps you approach them in a very successful way. I find listening to what they have to say and being a good listener and asking key questions helps you, you know, in the success of, you know, your business and getting people in the door and to trust you with the advice that's suited to them. Like I said, not everybody's the same.
Absolutely. Let me ask you, from when you first started your career and then coming up, you know, through the years and now, what are some of the changes that you've noticed in multicultural beauty in terms of products being used and just the direction of where you know, the multicultural beauty has gone or come from?
Oh, big time. There is where do I start? It's every season has a trend, and it to me it seems like things come back, things that are out of fashion come back eventually two seasons later. So if you notice, there's always a natural look, a smoky look, a sultry look, a classic look, and it all varies as far as color and technique. I see that from the years back in the 80s to now, there is so much more diversity in the application and color, because all these groups and women of different cultural backgrounds bring something beautiful to the present time as far as as far as the beauty and application of makeup. For example, I used to work a lot at the beginning of my career with Hispanic women, okay, and then in New York I started to work with everybody. And then we work now with a lot of South Asian brides, and they bring the most beautiful colors, vibrant. It's electric. It's just, oof, it's beautiful. It's eye candy. So you to a makeup artist, oh my goodness, I'm in heaven. So and you get to play with things that before you couldn't, because it was a little bit more subdued. So now the more subdued, I started to get brave and try and starting to get into those beautiful colors. Same happened with the Latina woman. I'm Latina, so we love vibrant, beautiful colors. So it's the fusion of styles and culture. It's just a fusion of all this, and you can create different looks with a little bit of here, a little bit of there, a little bit of there, and then stylize it to make it more modern. So, like, for example, the South Asian bride is now, there is a style to a bride. When they get married, they have like seven different beauty rituals that they do, like their bindi, their tikka, the jewelry, everything means something. But it's a lot. It's a lot to put on a body, to be honest with you. So, and that's a traditional way, very heavy makeup, colorful makeup, all sorts of color everywhere. That's the traditional cultural decor, if for lack of a better word. Now, with the younger women coming into modern society, like the younger girls that are getting married, are slowly dropping a little bit of this and a little bit of there off of all of that dressing, and they're getting more stylized in the makeup, more chic, more clean, more modern, without losing that sense, that cultural background and the classic look. So I find that a lot in my business. They don't want it as strong, but they want it more chic and clean. But still, it's gorgeous. But it's dramatic. It's dramatic.
No, sorry, go ahead.
No, I did that answer your question?
Oh, okay. I was just going to ask you, I was just going to say, you're the owner and creative director at Bridal Gal Multicultural Beauty. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit, Bridal Gal, and what's your main focus at Bridal Gal?
Yeah, my main focus to create beautiful looks is the skin. That's my primary focus. I heard you at the beginning of the program about aesthetics and skincare and all that, and I got really excited because I'm glad that you were talking about that because, you know, the basis of beautiful makeup looks and the payoff of the makeup is getting the best skin you can. If we know that in every culture there is a different sense of beauty, you know, what they think what beauty is. But I find that in every culture, no matter what culture, the main beauty is beautiful, flawless skin. I mean, nobody wants ugly skin or scarred skin. Everybody's looking for that beautiful, flawless skin. So people come to the studio wanting this beautiful, gorgeous skin without really taking care of the skin to get it to look that way. So my primary focus is to get my clients, getting them into appropriate skincare, and I do facials, rejuvenating treatments, and anti-aging, and a lot of my clients have hyperpigmentation. That's very popular among African American, Indian, South Asian, Hispanic women. We get those, you know, those dark spots on our face, sunspots, and that's a big concern because that doesn't make the skin look pretty, obviously. And then the makeup artist has a lot more to cover. So that's my primary concern. A lot of brides and people come to me wanting a quick fix, and there's no quick fix for that. I get a lot of people coming, I want natural, but yet their skin is not in good condition. There's no way you're going to get natural if the skin has to be covered with tons of makeup. So that's my primary focus at the studio. And there is no quick fix. There's no quick fix.
So your studio was birthed out of, you know, you heard you mention earlier that a lot of people wanted you to do their makeup. So that,
yes.
Is that what led you to, okay, to open the studio? Okay. And so
The makeup and the demand for beauty services that were more focused on the natural beauty of the woman. What I found was that they were going through all these cosmetic, we're talking about back in 90s. They would go to the makeup counters and they would get heavy makeup done and neon pink lipstick or whatever it was that was in style in that time. But they didn't really get, this is what I noticed, they didn't really get that personalized attention to make them look more beautiful, like, you know, applying makeup to make you look more beautiful. They were pretty much getting, these were the complaints I was getting. They were just getting people putting on colors just to sell the color, or just color, makeup. It wasn't really focused on the beauty of the woman to make her look better than she came in, than when she came in. So it's not just about putting on makeup, it's about making you look more beautiful and making you feel more beautiful. I think that was what got me into my business as well. And it worked. It worked a lot. I said, well, why are people going to come to me to pay me money to do their makeup when they can get it for free at the counters? Well, that was an eye-opener. So I worked on it, you know. So, and it worked. It was fantastic. It's a great feeling when you have someone come to you for advice to get something, you know, some makeup look, and that you have the skill and to do this, but not only the skill, but to make them feel better and look better. And look more beautiful without applying tons of it, that is very rewarding. And I think that's what drives me to this day.
Absolutely. How do you market to multicultural brides?
Well, I started doing what people think they should be doing, putting ads in magazines and spending a lot of money on marketing and here and there. And to be honest with you, that takes a while to catch up, and it worked after a few years, absolutely. But things change, technology changes. Now I don't advertise in magazines anymore. A lot of it is word of mouth, really. I use Facebook to the max, and I have a couple of pages on Facebook. I do Twitter, and my website is under construction now. So I do a lot of internet and networking. And the main marketing is heavy-duty networking. Network with other professionals. That seems to be the best. And doing shows like yours.
Absolutely. Tell us what every makeup artist should have in their kit when working with one, multicultural client, and then two, multicultural bride.
It's pretty much, in my experience, pretty much the same. However, I think the key word is multicultural because, for example, if I get called in to go and do a client at their home and it's one person, I usually don't know what they look like. I just carry my entire kit, which is, you know, heavy. But because you know what happens? Once you go to their home, sometimes there's a sister or the mother, and they'll want to get their makeup done too. So my worst nightmare is to know that I have it, but I didn't bring it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I like to be fully equipped because you never know. And in New York especially, I mean, you can have a light-skinned girl and a darker-skinned girl and a darker-skinned girl and a really light girl, and they're all in the same place, and what are you going to do? So I like to keep, for both, I like to keep a complete selection of color foundations that I can mix to create customized colors. So I need to have at least foundations that are going to work for a huge number of different skin tones. And I love palettes. I love palettes. So palettes can have everything. So you need a basic neutral palette for that basic natural makeup, and then spice it up with a palette with shimmery colors and vibrant colors. And you can do wonders with two palettes, one neutral and one funky palette. And then And then, you know, the usual, the mascara, the liner, the lipstick, the liner for the lips, and then blush. Pretty much it for, like, a regular client. But then for bridal, multicultural again, especially if you're having South Asian, you need a little bit more spicy colors in that kit. So pigments work wonderful. South Asian brides love glitter. Shimmery stuff. Oh, I love that. That looks, I don't know. What is it with us? We love things that shine. and vibrant colors. And definitely in the bridal kit, you must have waterproof pretty much everything. Because of it needs to last long and through sweat and tears of joy, that makeup needs to last because your reputation is on that face. Your skills are on that face. Yeah, so you have to, a makeup artist needs to make sure that the work that they do stands the test of time regardless of, you know, tears and sweat, because that is what's going to define you. Oh, my God, my makeup looks as fresh as I did it this morning. Wow, who's your makeup artist? There's your marketing network right there.
Right.
And in the South Asian, yeah, in the South Asian community, oh, my God, they like somebody who's really good, and they will, it's like wildfire. Everybody knows, and it's the best marketing ever in that community. And the same in Hispanic community, too. So, yeah, it just goes quicker than the other ethnic groups. It's like, oh, and the connection. Oh, my goodness, the connection with the client. So in your kit, you need all those things that I told you, plus a connection to the client. You need to connect with your client. You need to make them feel comfortable. It's all about the client. Mm. It's not about your ego. Ego can go out, you know. It's not about you. It's about the client. You make the client feel beautiful, look beautiful, and that's your payoff.
Absolutely. What kind of advice would you give to a new makeup artist who hasn't really had the opportunity to work with different skin tones, different ethnicities? You know, maybe they went to makeup school, and the most that they've had to practice on is, could have very well have been people with the same skin tone as theirs. So what kind of advice would you give to someone who's new and not very familiar with color? What kind of advice would you give them?
That is an excellent, excellent question. Excellent. Love it. My advice is how I went into it. I mean, looking back, I didn't think that getting a job in a cosmetics counter was like, you know, something that I would treasure forever. But when you get, you become a makeup artist, or start wherever you can get your foot in. When you work at a cosmetic counter, I don't care where, anywhere where you have access to people, clients of different ethnic backgrounds. That you can play with what you've got. That is the best education, hands-on, that you can get. Be open. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of color. You will be able to figure out once you get used to the payoff of the color, of the pigment, of the product. Learn the product and start working on everybody. When I started, how do you get the experience if you don't get a job, and you can't get the job if you don't have experience? That's, you know, that's pretty difficult. So what I did was create my own portfolio. I started gathering my girlfriends. I bought a bottle of wine. I bought some hors d'oeuvres. I had a camera. And I started photographing my girlfriends. I started putting their makeup on and playing, hello, if they don't like it, too bad, right? They're friends. At least you had a bottle of wine and some hors d'oeuvres there to have, and you have fun. And what girl doesn't like to play dress up?
Right.
So all of a sudden, all my friends were like, hey, I'm in. I'm going. Let's do it. So I had the opportunity to play with color with my girlfriends and take pictures, and before you knew it, you become better. I also advise them to take pictures of their work. Take a camera, phone camera, whatever. At the beginning, it's about learning. You learn so much about your work when you take a still picture.
Oh, yeah.
I still do that. I do that all the time. I like to see pictures of the work that I've done because I'm my worst critic, And there's always something to learn and something to change and something to tweak and something to learn about lighting or posing. There's always something. So the first thing is try to get a job in a cosmetics counter or in a drugstore playing with makeup, anywhere you have access to makeup that you can play with and do free demos. And, you know, I thought that was, to this day, that was the best training I've ever gotten.
And you know what the best, I think the good thing about taking photos of your work, sometimes when you're actually standing in front of someone and you're doing their makeup, it's like, you know, you're so into it that sometimes you don't really see, you know, what's not finished about it, or you don't really see what's wrong with it. And sometimes you have to kind of take that step back,
and look
at it with a different eye and take that picture, and then, you know, then you can kind of see what's missing.
Yeah. You know, let's just say a picture holds an image frozen in time. If that lash was out of place, that lash will be out of place forever. You know what I mean?
Right.
The picture will capture that, and you can say, oh, my God, maybe I should put the mascara a different way, you know. But when you're, like what you said, you don't see it when you're doing it because this is a moving object. It's a human being moving. It's subject to lighting. It's subject to angles. You know, and you don't always capture it. But a picture will tell you exactly what needs tweaking and how it's going to look in photographs and also in person. But, you know, it is a frozen image in time, and it helps you correct anything that the naked eye didn't catch. The camera catches stuff the naked eye does not. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I learned that the hard way. Yeah, you are. That was a great point. Yeah. Yes.
No,
so I always, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Finish.
No, I always tell people, take pictures. Even the girls that work with me, I'm like, take pictures of your work. Take pictures of your work. Take pictures of your work, because that you learn a lot from that.
Absolutely. Now, when you're doing makeup, airbrushing, correct? Or you're all airbrushed, or some airbrush?
Well, not all the time. I mean, I trained in airbrush when airbrush was not popular. It was just starting off.
Right.
We're talking about 1999, 2000, and after that. I learned a lot about airbrushing. Not everyone is a perfect candidate for airbrushing, regardless of what people may think. I think some people think that airbrushing is like Photoshop airbrushing, flawless, perfect, doll-like. It's not. Airbrushing is an amazing tool, and it gives beautiful results. But there are limitations to it, and I'm talking in my experience. I'm not talking about other people's experiences. For example, very few times I've had the challenge of dealing with a skin that is textured and big, oily, and has large pores, and it tends to be dry on the surface. That's a challenge, and the airbrush doesn't do as well I came to see as if I were to use a liquid, because I don't know, it's something about the airbrush that doesn't really smooth out that type of texture. See, and I found that liquid foundation or cream foundations may work better. Also, you need to prep the skin before airbrushing. So just because you're getting your skin airbrushed doesn't mean it's going to be so flawless just like that in a second. You need to prep the skin too. However, airbrushing is an amazing flawless, does an amazing flawless finish, but some people are, it just doesn't work well with some skin, not a majority of it. Like I think the challenge is that textured skin. I still have to figure out if airbrushing definitely would be good for it, but it doesn't seem to. But and also very dry, mature skin doesn't do well with it unless you use a silicone base. So there are also formulas that you can use that are for airbrushing that are different, that can have really good effects on the skin, except for I've tried everything I could with the textured, dry on the surface, oily, large pore skin, and nothing seems to work as far as airbrushing other than the manual. I do also a lot of scar on the body, tattoos on the body, birthmarks on the body. That is phenomenal. I developed that skill through the years doing, like I said, getting my friends together. You have a tattoo, let's cover it up, let's see what we can do. And also, going back to that question about what I would tell people that are starting, is like, get, like I said, get your friends together and start practicing on them. And if you have clients that want you to do something that you don't know how to handle, it may be a challenge to your skills. I did this too. I said, you know what, that's a good one. Why don't you come by? I'll practice on you. Let's say if it works, and if it works, great. If it, you can hire me. If it doesn't work, then you didn't lose anything. You know, we just tried it and see. That's how I started learning how to cover the most challenging tattoos and scars and birthmarks. By saying, well, you know, I have never done one, but if you want to come by, I'll be free. I'll give you a free consultation and try it on and see if it works. And you challenge your skill and you learn more, and people appreciate it. So airbrushing for the body is great. For the face is even is great too. But not all faces take well to airbrushing, but most of them do. The body, you can do practically anything to the body. Stretch marks, I forgot to tell you, you can do stretch marks. Those are challenging, though. Those are very challenging to cover up. But airbrushing is a great tool. I mean, it's amazing what it can do.
Is there one thing out there that you notice about makeup artists in general that you think, you know, maybe in terms of what you see, because, you know, there's a lot of things out there. You see your social media, Facebook or Instagram, you have YouTube, and you get a chance to look at other makeup artists and find out what they like, what they're doing, different techniques. Is there anything out there that you've seen that you're like, no?
Oh, no, I'm laughing. You know why? Because that's exactly what I do every day.
Okay.
I check out everybody. I need to see what's going out there. You know, by looking at other people and artists' work, I learn a lot. Mm-hmm. I see the way their technique. I see what they're doing. I see what's going on out there with other makeup artists, and it's great. You learn a lot. Another tip for a beginner, check it out. Go out there, see what other people are doing, and do it better. And do it better, yeah. You can always make a better wheel. Is that what they said? You know that thing? Hey, you can always make a better wheel. I don't know. A better mousetrap. Oh, absolutely. And I learned so much from other makeup artists. It's just amazing. To this day, I go everywhere and I check magazines. I check YouTube. I check everything. I check up everybody. Photographers. Mm-hmm. I check photographers. I check whether those photos have been photoshopped or not. You know, it's easy to be a great makeup artist if your photos are photoshopped all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have a love-hate relationship with Photoshop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it creates a different, photoshopping images to the point where they look unreal, and people think that they look, that this is the way you're supposed to look after I do airbrush makeup is a challenge for me to deal with.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah,
and
that's
then, and then I think it also, I believe, sometimes I believe it can make us lazy as makeup artists when we think, oh, you know, the photographer can fix that, or, you know, and so we don't really strive for perfection when we're doing a face. We just think, oh, someone else can kind of like pick up our slack.
Well, you know what? That might be your downfall, because photographers don't like to Photoshop too much.
No, you they know? Don't, because what people don't realize is sometimes it's an easy fix and sometimes it's not.
It's more work for the photographer. I find that photographers love. Yeah, I find photographers are willing to work a lot more with artists that their work is on point and need little touch-up, and they love working with these kinds of artists. Another tip, oh, I'm sorry, I keep going back to the tip because I love that. I really love that question about what would I advise give to a new makeup artist is, like, be a perfectionist. Be a perfectionist because you want your work to represent who you are in your skill. And detail is very important. So you have to work at that and make sure that you progress in being more detailed, because that's what's going to get you more work. Clients love you to be a perfectionist because they feel so special, and they are special. So you should give them the best that you can. They're paying for your expertise. You're going to give them the best that you can. And photographers love, like I said, love working with makeup artists that are perfectionists. But also, you know, you have to do speed, too. Forgot about that. You got not only perfectionists, but you need to be fast. So that's a challenge. It's doable. So like I said, I have a love-hate relationship with Photoshop, to the point where if any of my images have been Photoshopped to the point where she no longer looks like I did her makeup, I am not a very happy camper. And this happened before. People get over zealous with, carried away with doing Photoshop to the point where it looks like a plastic Barbie doll. And then where's my makeup? There's no muscle. It's like there's no movement in the face. It looks just flat and plastic. And unfortunately, you know, some clients come to my studio with those kinds of pictures. And I say, you realize this is Photoshop? She goes, really? And people don't know. People don't know. And, you know, it's a challenge, because then if you can't give them that exact, beautiful, flawless look that's unreal, they may be, you know, not very happy. So that's why I have a love-hate relationship with Photoshop.
Let me ask you, Lily, do you teach classes?
I teach classes on one-on-one. I don't, I get this question a lot, so I maybe sometime in the near future I may set up something, but at the moment, individual, yeah, because I'm not set up for that yet. And we're really busy doing weddings and every weekend, and it's kind of hard to set up classes.
Oh, wow, every weekend, huh?
It pretty yeah. Thank the Lord.
Right.
I'm not complaining. I'm a happy camper. I love what I do. I so much enjoy what I do. We have a great time when we're working with brides.
And so you have a team of artists, is that correct?
Yes, I have a team of a few hairdressers and a few makeup artists. We're not a huge team. We're about 8 of us. Some do hair and makeup, some do hair, and some do makeup. And we work together as a team. And it's pretty tough to be working with us, only because we, our brides and our clients demand the best, and we want to give them the best. So in order to give them the best, we need to work as a team, and we need to be consistent in what we do with our clients, and that's the way I like to keep it, and it works beautifully.
Wonderful. What inspires you, or who inspires you?
What inspires me? That's a really good question, and I get inspiration every day from everything that I come in contact with, as far as people, nature, color. other makeup artists. I get inspired by their expertise and their, oh my God, their thinking out of the box creativity. Their creativity inspires me. It just makes me be a better makeup artist. I see people with ideas, and it's just mind-boggling. I'm like, wow, why didn't I think of that? You know, it's like, wow. And then it gets my wheels rolling, you know, and it's always about thinking outside the box and coming up with things that you can create out of something you had no idea you can create that from. It's just nature. Oh, my God, the universe inspires me. Looking at the sky, looking at the stars, all that bling up there, I'm like, I want some of that. You know, that inspires me. That inspires me. The beauty within the woman or the person that I'm doing the makeup inspires me. It's just amazing. A beautiful face is nothing if the heart and the soul is not beautiful. I mean, you know, the face can be made pretty no matter what, but it can be made beautiful if the beauty in the inside is more beautiful than your face. You know, you can make that face even more glorious. It's just amazing, Salwan. Some people just are like, you know, beautiful inside, and then that bridal glow always shows, even if the bride hasn't had enough sleep. And what bride gets enough sleep the day before her wedding? Practically no one. None of them. And they still glow that day. It's amazing. And it's that beauty and that happiness that comes within you that just makes you look even more beautiful. That inspires me. The family that's with that bride inspires me. The beauty of the family inspires me. The hospitality inspires me. Oh, I'm just blabbing on here. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But you are definitely inspired by things that you come across during your work, for sure.
Absolutely. Everyday's life things inspire me. Things that are beautiful in nature, that are big, the colors in nature and flowers and everything that I find. Dealing with people in general is very inspirational when they talk about what makes them tick and what they like. And I'm like, really, you like that? Let's check this out. Oh, wow. You know, I'm like, wow, that never thought of that. And just people in general, and just listening to what their life story is about and what they like and what they don't like. And definitely other makeup artists. And let me stop getting too deep here. Let me just go into what the beauty industry is about. Going to beauty expos and those hair shows, you were mentioning that at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
I love going to those things. That inspires me. Oh, my God, that gives me an overdrive.
Absolutely.
It's eye candy. It's a candy warehouse when you go to these things. And the spa and the makeup shows inspire me. That is just amazing. It's just amazing.
Absolutely. Well, our last question for you tonight, and it sounds like you've answered this several times throughout the night, but what is beauty to you?
Oh, okay, in a sentence, because beauty is anything that makes me feel, beauty is such a big word. You know, like when you're in the presence of someone and that person makes you feel wonderful that you're in their presence, that's beauty to me. That's a loaded question. I need time to think about that. It's just, you know, I mean, you can say, what's beauty? Beauty is the symmetry or asymmetry, like something that has symmetry is beautiful and something that is not perfect is not beautiful. You can find beauty in something that's not, that doesn't have the perfect balance of shape. And you can find, so that takes that out. The brain captures beauty differently. Like, if something is well-balanced, we automatically, not knowing, we look at that as, oh, that's beautiful, but you don't know why. It's just very well balanced, proportioned, that's beauty. But then the thing that's not very well balanced is not as attractive, but you can find beauty in that too. So I don't know if I answered your question. That's a tough one because there's beauty in everything. We just have to learn how to see it. We just have to be open enough to see it. You know, somebody who's not very attractive, there's beauty in that person. You've got to find the beauty in that person, you know, in something. So, you know, that's, if you ask me something that intense, I can go on and on, but I'm not going to because we only have, I don't know, we've already taken up a lot of your time, but it's very intense. I just enjoy what I do, and I try to find beauty in everything, even in the most challenging, situations. And I like, even if I find someone who's not very attractive, as a person, there is somebody beautiful down in there somewhere, and my challenge is trying to get that out. So there is beauty everywhere. So that's my definition of beauty, if I answer your question.
Oh, you did. That you did. And tell us how we can find you on social media.
Absolutely. My website is bridalgal.com. It's under construction because I'm getting my website to be more modern now and more chic and just put up more current work. But there are pictures there, and you have different ethnicities on there, beautiful brides and people there. And then I have Facebook. It's under my personal name, Lily Rivera, where I put like professional pictures and then a little bit of my personality in there because people seem to like, you know, to get into like the person that you are. And then there's the official like business Bridal Gown Multicultural Beauty, which is all about, you know, the brides and the work that I've done. And it's all in there. So, and then, oh my goodness, and then I have a page on skincare. So I'm trying to get a new website to company to consolidate everything. So like right now I'm all over the place, but you'll find me anyway. And if anytime you type in Bridal Gown Multicultural Beauty, you'll find it. Just take a look at it. It's as diversified as I am. I have a lot of different interests. I love doing a lot of different things. So it represents a lot of the art that I do. I even have a Facebook page that has Halloween looks. I just started getting into that. Talk about what inspires me. Halloween looks inspire me too. And of course, and my phone number and my studio on the west side. The address is on Facebook. If anybody would like to come see and get a consultation or, you know, get together or something, just call me and I'm here.
Sounds good. Well, we'll definitely keep up with what you're doing. And check out your work. And we definitely have to get you back on the show because I know there are so many more questions that we could ask you tonight.
I would love to. Absolutely.
So we'll definitely, down the road, get back to you and get you back on the show.
That would be great. Yeah, I would love to.
Thank you very much. I thank you for joining us again tonight. And we thank you for those who participated in the chat room. And is there anything else you have for us, Denise?
No, I just want to wish everybody a lovely evening. And thank you for listening to my ranting. <It's> like, and I hope that anything that I've said can be of, you know, help or advice, or if you had any questions that I was able to answer. You can always, if anybody has any questions, that they're welcome to, you know, send me a message on Facebook under Lily Rivera. I would be more than happy to help out. If you have questions about how to become a makeup artist, like what to do right after school, it's kind of tough, but you know what? You can do it. You can do it. If you have the passion and you have the talent, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't pay attention to the negative comments. Just do your thing. If this is your passion, you're going to make it. You can't give up. Can't give up.
Absolutely. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, and that page is Beauty Talk Online. And also you can follow us on Instagram at beauty_talk_media. And if you like tonight's show, go out here on Blog Talk Radio and mark it as a favorite. You can leave us a comment there as well. Again, thank you guys for joining us tonight. And as always, we look forward to chatting with you guys each week Sunday night at 9 p.m. So tell a friend and, you know, bring them back next Sunday night. Talk to
Hold
you
on, I have
and...
the winner. I have the winner for the makeup planner. So tonight's winner is Renee Hamilton. Renee wins the 2014 Makeup Planner by Marietta Carter Narcisse. So we will be sending that out to Renee. And Renee, if you're listening, if you can just email us at beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com with your information, your name, address, and phone number, and we will ship that out to you this week. And once again, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Beauty Talk Online Radio, on Twitter, Beauty_Talk, and on Instagram, Beauty_Talk_Media.
All right, everybody, thanks a bunch, and have a wonderful and blessed week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.